The Haunted House. It's something that in popular culture is used, you know, so easily as a place of being scared, a place of darkness, a place of creepiness. But what happens when it's not something that's just in pop culture or the movies or a reality TV show? What if it's your house? What if you're living in this haunted house? How do you handle such a thing? Do some houses have a higher odd of being haunted when you are picking out a home? A more storied history, does that increase the odds? Does the land increase the odds? Do the events that happened in a house increase the odds? There's so many things you can consider when trying to guess which house will be haunted. Unfortunately, many times you don't know the answer to that until it's yours. It's not exactly something that gets advertised in many MLS listings. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we hear about several haunted houses, some fixer-uppers, perspectives from the parents who go in and have the best of intent only to discover their house is haunted as hell, and also from the perspective of the children who experience the homes that they're put into because, well, they have no choice. They're the kids. They're going along for the ride. We're going to hear about someone who wants that fixer-upper. Family looks back with second thoughts as they recall the dark and paranormal activity they experienced while trying to revive an old plantation-style home. Also, can you ever rid a home of spirits if they don't want to leave? They're stuck there. Can you simply try to make peace with them, allowing everyone to go on living in the same space? Also, why is it that sometimes only one person seems to experience paranormal activity when everyone else cannot? Is that person supposed to get a message? Do they have an ability that the others simply don't possess? Those stories and more today on EPP bonus episode number 318 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. So you want a fixer-upper, you say? A lot of people, with the advent of HGTV and all of the fixing up type shows that exist, think this should be great. Look, they got it done in 30 minutes. In reality, it's weeks and weeks or possibly years. In some cases, taking on a fixer-upper, it's not the easiest thing in the world. Trust me, been there, done that. But it can be very fulfilling. It can be very fun. Very exciting to see your work if you're up to it and you have the skills to do such things. But what about a fixer-upper that's, you know, beyond just, you know, repair a little bit here, repair a little bit there, more so this place is really old, super storied, lots and lots of people have been through here, and maybe this is a little more than anyone can take on unless you are owning a construction company of some sort. That's what we hear about in our next story. A couple and their kids move into an old plantation-style home, thinking, we're going to fix this place up. We're going to make this our home. We're going to put some positivity into this place. Well, turns out, no matter the intention, sometimes history will be the victor, eventually making a family rethink that decision to try and call that place home. Take a listen. Mom, wake up. Mom. These words were becoming awfully familiar to me at that time in our lives. The year was 2005, and we had moved into an old southern plantation-style home as house sitters for friends and business partners of ours. Our home in Tarpon Springs, Florida, sold unexpectedly to one of our neighbors who knocked on our door one day and offered to buy it. So when our friends who had just purchased a plantation-style home needed someone to live in and care for the house for a period of time, they thought of us, and we gladly accepted. The house was old, big, with white brick, had two stories, had a balcony that went from one end to the other, and the front and the back of the house. It also had multiple pillars across the front of the house, just like you would picture when thinking about an old southern plantation-style house as seen in movies. The house sat on plenty of land with lots of trees, brick patios, a circular driveway, a detached three-car garage, a pump house, and even a maid's quarters. Where probably the unique feature of the house was that it was surrounded by a tall brick wall, which made us feel as if we lived in our own private kingdom. We were told that the previous owners had been the original and only tenants of the home other than our family. The house had been in probate since the previous owners had passed away, so it was in disrepair, but we were taken with the yard, the trees, the wall, the size and charm of the house, that we were willing to put some work into making it livable for the opportunity to live there. On the day we moved in, we were tired, cranky, and disorganized. So as the family settled into their individual rooms upstairs, I decided to grab a blanket and sleep downstairs on the couch. I'd only been lying awake for a few minutes when I heard a very loud banging on the walls. It scared the living daylights out of me because I immediately assumed it was one of the homeless people who lived in the area around the house. So I scurried upstairs and climbed in bed with my husband. I never slept downstairs again while we lived in that house. We eventually settled into the house and we loved it. It had so much charm and was so spacious. Our three children were all in school and my husband was a workaholic, so I was home alone much of the time. I immediately started to hear and see strange things, but I dismissed everything as just my imagination. I'd spend my mornings downstairs cleaning, doing laundry, cooking, while upstairs I listened to constant footsteps, even though I knew that no one was home except me. Certain areas of the house had a different feel than other areas, but again, it was easier to just ignore anything and everything that felt or seemed odd. One day, my husband sat down next to me, looked at me very seriously, and said, "Do you see or hear anything unusual in this house?" I was so relieved that he was the one to start that conversation, since he told me that I was not as crazy as I thought I was. We compared stories and agreed that whoever or whatever was sharing the house with us was harmless. So we agreed to accept the fact that things were unusual, to say the least. We eventually added our three children, Megan, a teenager, Katie, 9 years old, and Trey, who was about seven, when we moved into the house, to the conversations, and we discussed what we had all seen or heard that was not easily explained. We had all seen and heard things that we could not explain, so it eventually became a joke and something that we could all talk about together as a family. For the most part, no one in our family was afraid of the house or the unusual things that we had seen or experienced, except our middle child, Katie. We soon found out that she had it the worst of all of us. Katie would wake me up on a regular basis and tell me that someone was whispering in her ear. She'd also wake me up and tell me that someone was knocking on the French doors of the living room that was located right under her room. I too heard the knocking and had gone downstairs to investigate, but no one was ever there. So I stopped going downstairs and just ignored the knocking. We also learned to ignore the sound of glass breaking, since we never could find any broken glass anywhere in the house. We also ignored the faint sound of music playing when sitting in one corner of the house. Nowhere else could we hear music playing, just that corner of the house. We always thought that the music was coming from the maid's quarters, but when we would go out to the maid's quarters to investigate, it was silent. Late one evening, we were all in our separate bedrooms, but I was still awake, and suddenly my husband, Paul, started to scream in his sleep. I grabbed him and woke him up. He was terrified. He proceeded to tell me that he had been dreaming that someone was in our house that did not belong there, and he was yelling at them to leave. As he was telling me about his dream, we both heard someone walking in the hallway. So we both sat up in bed at the same time and said, "Megan, is that you?" There was no answer. But right at that moment, Paul and I both witnessed a figure walk from the kids' bathroom in the front of our bedroom door and down the stairs. I jumped up and ran to the kids' room to make sure that they were okay, and Paul grabbed a baseball bat and followed the shadow down the stairs. We both assumed that Paul's dream had been a warning that someone was indeed in our house. All three of the kids were in their rooms. Katie and Trey were asleep, and Megan sat up in bed when I opened her door. I asked her if she had seen or heard anything, and she had not. Paul followed the footsteps downstairs but found nothing, and when he checked all the doors, they were locked from the inside. So whatever or whoever we saw did not leave the house. We searched high and low, but found no one. We were rattled to the core, but we eventually went back to bed, still wondering what on earth we had just experienced. Despite the incident with the shadow figure, the whispering in Katie's ear was the most troubling thing that we'd experienced. When she would wake me up saying, "Mom, Mom, wake up, someone is whispering in my ear again," I felt helpless because there was nothing that I could do to help her. So I'd walk her back to her room, tuck her in bed, and pray with her for peace and for God's protection. The rest of us never experienced any whispering, so Katie eventually asked if she could switch rooms with our youngest, Trey, who had the smallest of the bedrooms, and he gladly agreed. And that's where we're going to pause the preview portion of EPP bonus episode number 318 of Real Ghost Stories Online. To hear the rest and get access to all 318 bonus episodes, become a supporter of our program, an EPP as we call them, extra podcast person. You get access to all the episodes, all commercial free. You get advanced episodes of the regular show, also commercial free. You get our ebook, you get our audiobook, you get exclusive episodes, you get so many cool extras. It's only $5 a month. Or you can sign up for a full year and get another thing free, 1 month free when you sign up for an annual membership. Two places to sign up. You choose which one is best for you, ghostpodcast.com. That's our website. Or if you prefer Patreon and going through their app and all that, you can do that too. Both have monthly and annual memberships. Patreon.com/realghoststories is where you sign up there. Keep us on the air and enjoy getting freaked out this Halloween season. Until next time, for Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.